What is the point of prayer? Sometimes we may ask this question when we find ourselves worn out or if we feel like God doesn't hear us. Maybe the disciples felt this way when they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. How important is prayer to you? Is your prayer confident? In today's story, Jesus teaches us a model prayer that will give us insight into praying powerful prayers. Do you want to know how to pray with purpose? Then listen to today's story from the book of Luke.
Hey, if you're a guest with us today, we're in the book of Luke. We're studying Luke chapter 11. If you got a paper Bible, go ahead and flip open to there right now. We'll start Luke chapter 11, verse 1. If you're following along in our mobile app, you can just click that button that says today's sermon. We're going to be talking about prayer. In fact, we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. And to do a little bit of preparation, I started to do some theological research about this today. How many of you have ever been to the carnival? You've been to the county or the state fair where they have this high strike game. You know the game where the guy says, come on, pay your money, step on up, ring the bell, and win a prize. How many of you have played that game? Okay, so I've watched big, strong guys come up there and grab that mallet and swing it as hard as they can. And no matter how hard they swing, that ball doesn't go all the way up. It doesn't ring the bell. And then some little scrawny guy comes up after them, picks up the exact same mallet at the exact same fair, and bam, hits the bell and wins the prize. How is it possible that the big, strong guy doesn't ring the bell, win the prize, when the little scrawny guy can? So here's the research that I did this week. This is me doing some research. I'm hitting the buzzer as hard as I can, and that's how far up the little, the little gauge goes. Notice the little guy next to me? This is what it looks like when he hits the buzzer. He hits the buzzer, and it goes all the way up, and of course, it rings the bell, and he gets about 1 million tickets out of this game because this little guy next to me can hit it a lot harder than I can. Here's what we want to do about prayer today for just a second. What does powerful prayer look like? What is the kind of prayer that when you pray that prayer, you know God hears it, you know it rings the bell, you know that prayer rings the bell and wins the prize with God? Well, that's what we're looking at today in the book of Luke. We start in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. If you're following along in those notes, first thing that Luke is going to say to us today about prayer is to pray right. Now, today starts this passage in the book of Luke where this is Jesus talking to his friends and his disciples, and then sometimes he's quizzed by the religious leaders. And just to be honest, those religious leaders are hypocrites. Their heart is not right. In fact, if you read the passage that we're going to look at today from Luke, if you were to read it in Matthew in your Bible, Jesus begins the passage by describing a hypocrite's prayer. And he says, God knows those prayers aren't sincere. But there are some prayers that God hears because you pray right, because they pray from the heart. So here's Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Notice the first sentence. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. I've said this repeatedly. If Jesus, the sinless Son of God, if the one who had the perfect relationship with his Father in heaven, if Jesus spends this amount of time that we're reading about in the Bible praying, how can you and I possibly spend less? So Jesus is in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus wasn't put out by this request. It didn't offend him. So he said, sure, I'll teach you how to pray. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Apparently, John the Baptist had a model prayer. We don't have any record of what that prayer looks like, but it wasn't uncommon for the rabbis in Jesus' day. They had apprentices. We call them disciples. These apprentices would follow the rabbis around, and it wasn't uncommon for those rabbis to teach their apprentices, this is how you're supposed to pray. So Jesus has a crowd of apprentices, disciples following them around, and they say, Jesus, will you teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray? Jesus said, sure, I'd be happy to do that for you. And then Jesus gives us today, if you've been raised in the church, what is known as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. We're going to look at each one of these lines from the model prayer individually. We're going to slow way down and take a look at this model prayer today. But here's what I want you to see before we go any farther. Jesus is saying, you want to know what powerful prayer looks like? You want to know what bold prayer looks like? You want to know what the kind of prayers that hit the bell and ring the prize with God looks like? Here it is. First line of the Lord's Prayer. Put God's glory first. When you pray, do your prayers start with you, end with you, and everything in the middle is about you? Because that's not the way Jesus prayed. In fact, that's not the way Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus' prayers began with God and with God's glory. We're going to slow way down, right? So first word, Father. Okay, this word fundamentally changes a Jew's relationship with God. In Jesus' day, a good Jew did not utter the proper name of God. He was too holy. You were too sinful. You wouldn't even bother to use his real name. They used substitutes for the real name of God. If you could read and write, you wouldn't write down the name of God without first getting up, going and washing your hands, and then coming back to the table, picking up the scroll, picking up the pen, and then writing down the proper name of God. That's how holy the name of God was. And Jesus uses the word Father that fundamentally changes the relationship. In fact, everything about prayer today is based on this word. Like a father wants to hear from his children, that's the way God wants to hear from you. And your prayers should begin with the Father, should end with the Father. And everything in the middle is about your relationship with God the Father in heaven, your perfect Father, the kind of Father who never bails on you, never lets you down. Jesus is saying, hey, pray like this. God, I want more people to hear about you on the nightly news than Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. God, I want more people talking about you on Instagram or on Twitter than Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian. God, I want everybody to know about you and about your name. My prayer begins with God, Jesus says, and so should you. And Jesus is saying, God, I want your name to be so special. I want your name to be so sacred that it's on everybody's lips, and that's all that they're talking about. That's where Jesus' prayer begins. And then it moves to heaven. Put God's glory first, and then start to focus on not the here and now, but heaven and what's waiting for you there. Look, in Jesus' day, heaven had this connotation that, God, I want, here's how Jesus puts it in the model prayer, God, I want your kingdom that's in heaven to be present here on earth. And the kind of prayer that Jesus is praying here is, God, I realize that this world that I live in, it's broken. It's been stained and marred by sin. What you created in the Garden of Eden is far from where we are today. And God, I won't rest in my country. God, I won't rest in my city. God, I won't rest in my church. I won't rest in my family until Eden is restored. I'm looking forward to what's coming in the future. I'm not holding on hope to what's around me today. God, I want heaven restored here on earth. And here's how Jesus is putting this today. I will take part in this process. God, I will be a vessel that you use to introduce the Garden of Eden back here on planet earth. I will be involved in your kingdom coming to earth. It's the idea that I play a critical role in God's plan for humanity until God hits the reset button and changes everything and fixes what was broken by Adam and Eve in the garden. God, I'll be at work for your kingdom and for your glory. But Jesus also recognizes you and I have legitimate needs, and it's good, it's proper for you to bring those needs to God. We have to deal with a word today that's very, very rare in this passage, but here's how Jesus puts it. Give us each day the food that we need. Your translation may use this phrase, give us our daily bread. Okay, the father-child relationship. In Jesus' day, father went to work, made money to buy bread so that the family could eat today. If dad didn't go to work, family didn't eat today. And Jesus says the starting point of your needs is to say, God, you're my Father. The food that I have on my table, if it doesn't come from you, I don't have anything to eat today. In fact, the word day here is a challenge for most Bible scholars because it's literally found only here in the Bible. It only appears two other places in all of the written word, this word that we have for day today. And scholars are not sure exactly what Jesus is saying we should be asking for. I believe what Jesus is saying is, God, if there's going to be food on my table tomorrow, you're my Father, and the only way that it's going to be available is if you provide for it. And so I'm asking you to provide for my basic needs of life. If you don't show up, Father, I have nothing. I have nothing that I can depend on. Now, of course, daily bread may be your number one physical need. And right now, there are some men in our community we're ministering to that literally need bread. And I'm praying that God provides some bread so that they have something to eat. But your greatest spiritual need is forgiveness. So the next thing that Jesus says in this model prayer is, look, just be honest about your motives, especially when it comes to forgiveness. Look at this phrase up here on the screen for just a second. And forgive us our sins. Say the next word out loud. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God, forgive me my sins to the same degree that I'm willing to forgive other people of their sins. Or God, don't forgive any sins of mine that I'm not willing to already forgive of somebody else. And the phrase here that Jesus has in mind is, God is our Father. And God wants unity among his children. And we're all sinners. I am and you are. So I'm going to hurt you. And you're going to hurt me. And I'm going to need your forgiveness. And you're going to need my forgiveness. And Jesus says, you want to know what a bold prayer looks like? Pray this tonight. God, don't forgive me if I'm not willing to forgive other people. I mean, just be honest. God, I've got some bitterness in my heart towards somebody who's done me wrong. And God, I need your help with this bitterness. God, I'm angry about somebody who did me wrong. And I need your help in this anger. God, don't forgive me if I'm not willing to forgive other people. God, I am willing to go as far for other people as you were willing to go for me. That's a bold prayer. And Jesus says, that's the way my people should be praying to their Father in heaven. Last line of this prayer, Jesus says, would you just admit your weaknesses against sin? Don't be like that hypocrite that Matthew describes. Here's how Jesus says it in the model prayer. And don't let us, Father, protect your children. Don't let us fall or yield to temptation. That word temptation is the kind of temptation that if you gave into it, it would destroy your life. Jesus says the dad's job is to protect his children against harm. God is your Father. He wants to protect you, but you've got to seek him for protection. In other words, tonight, try this. God, protect me from clicking on something on the internet that I shouldn't be looking at. Ladies, pray this prayer. God, help me not get involved with the man who I know will undermine my faith and will ruin my life. Maybe you're struggling with this decision. God, help me hang on and not give up financially. Help me not declare bankruptcy because I really feel like I'm just ready to give it up and to walk away. Or maybe you would pray tonight when you're going to bed, God, I need your help against the bottle. I need your help against the pills because they're consuming my life right now. And I don't want to embarrass you. And I don't want to hurt your glory. So God, help me. Protect me from myself because I need it. Jesus says, I want you to be powerful in prayer. I beg that you would be powerful in prayer. And I'm going to show you what it looks like to pray the kind of prayer that rings the bell and wins the prize with God. And there is a right way to pray, and there's a wrong way to pray. And the right way is honestly, from the soul, deeply sincere. I know my Father, and my Father knows me, so I can't hide anything from him. I'm just going to be honest with him when I pray. Second thing that Jesus says about powerful prayers is to pray hard. And now Jesus gives us a little story about what it looks like to pray hard. And this story is pretty scandalous. Because in Jesus' day, if you were a middle-class family, your home had one room. That one room was your kitchen. It was your living room. If you had a trade, it was your work room. And it was your bedroom. And all of your children lived in this one room. So if there came a knock at the door at midnight, it woke up everybody in the house because everybody lived in the same room. Listen to what Jesus describes as praying hard or praying with persistence. Luke chapter 11. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. It's a crisis if you go to the house at midnight. It's urgent, and you have this relationship where this is the only person you can go to at this hour at the night. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out to you from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. Imagine how hurt you would be by that answer. Verse 8. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he'll get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, here comes the lesson that Jesus is teaching. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Listen, this is not twisting God's arm. This is not annoying God so bad that just to get you off of his back, he gives you what you're asking for. The whole story is based on a relationship. Jesus describes prayer today like a relationship between a father and a child. Of course, if there's a need and you go to your closest friend, if you go to your family member and you knock on the door at midnight, if they can, they're going to get up and meet that need. But even if they don't, keep on asking. And at some point, here's what I believe Jesus is teaching. God the Father knows, okay, now it means enough to you. Now you care enough about what you're asking for that I can answer that prayer. You see, just mouthing words, that doesn't impress me, God is saying. When you care enough about it that you're willing to seek and to knock and to ask, now I know you care enough about it that your Father can answer that prayer. It's not twisting God's arm here. It's not repeating the same words over and over again to make him do something for you. It's power in prayer because you're persistent in prayer, and you're persistent in prayer because you care deeply about what you're asking for. Pastor Alan Smith and a team of people put in a ton of work this week to help make a little video to show you what Jesus is saying here.
Son, do we have anything in this house left to eat?
Not anymore.
Well, the Smiths rolled up with their family and their kids are hungry. I didn't even know they were coming, and I didn't buy anything for them to eat.
Well, Mom?
Oh, son, look, we have obviously enough to fix sandwiches with, but we have no bread. So I need you to go over to the Jones' house, and I need you to ask them for a loaf of bread.
Mom, it's 10 o'clock on a Thursday night. Their show's on, but they're not going to answer the door.
Go and get me some bread.
Okay. You know how much Camilla gets, but...
Hurry up, Fred. You're going to miss the opener. It's your favorite part.
That microwave keeps burning my popcorn.
Yeah, but it's the season finale. This is going to be so good. Turn off your phone.
All right, just a second.
I don't want anything to interrupt us.
Yeah, I know. Okay, all right, it's off.
Mr. Fred, Miss Camilla.
Don't say a word. Maybe he'll go away. You know how he is. Turn off the light.
Mr. Fred, I saw the lights go out. Are you in there?
Miss Camilla, we really need some bread.
Mr. Fred.
Hey, how's everybody doing in there? I'll make some sandwiches up for you. Be ready in just a minute. Well?
Well, what?
Did you manage to get a loaf of bread from Miss Camilla?
No, ma'am.
Well, why not?
No one came to the door.
Did you knock?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you ring the doorbell?
No one came to the door.
Do I have to do everything? Well, I'll tell you what. You stay here and keep these kids occupied. And don't let them eat the house down, okay? I'm going to go get a loaf of bread from Miss Camilla.
Mama, she's not going to help you right now.
Well, yes, she will.
This has been amazing.
I know, my heart's racing.
Camilla, I know you're in there. I need your help. Camilla, I know you're in there.
Hello.
Camilla, I really need your help. The Smiths have come to the house. They're hungry. All I need is a loaf of bread. It'll take you just a minute.
Will you just come back in an hour? I'm right in the middle of something.
Oh, come on, Camilla. I really do need just a loaf of bread. Please.
Give me a minute. Be right to the door. Here you go.
Thank you, Camilla.
You're welcome. Just be quiet and get out of here. Have a good night. Enjoy your company.
I guess that's what it means to be a good neighbor.
Yeah, all that knocking, asking, knocking.
Yeah.
Now this is how you ask for bread.
What took so long?
Well, I just kept knocking and asking, and finally somebody got up and answered that door and gave us some bread. And you get to start fixing those sandwiches, and I'm going to go check on our guest. How's everybody doing in here? We all having any fun today?
Keep knocking.
Persistence. Guess it works.
That's an original short by Calvary Baptist Church. Why don't you tell them thank you for that? Jesus isn't saying, say it often enough and you've twisted God's arm into giving you what you want. He said, say it to the point that now it's serious. Now you really, really believe it. Say it like a friend desperate in the middle of the night for help. I was reading this week, and here's something that the Lord spoke to me about. A quote from E.M. Bounds, perhaps one of the greatest English authors on prayer in history, said this: Jeff, your little prayers are make-believe. It's a salvo for your conference or for your conscience. It's a farce and it's a delusion. Your little prayers are only fooling yourself. They're not fooling God. You want to pray powerful prayers? Pray right. You want to pray powerful prayers that ring the bell with God? Pray hard. You want to pray the kind of prayers that earn the prize with God? Pray with confidence. And now the relationship between a father and a child is the center of prayer that Jesus describes next. Look at how he phrases praying with confidence. It's like saying, I know my father. I know what my father wants to give me, and I'm asking for something that my father already wants to give me, so I have confidence that he's going to give me what I'm asking for. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 11. You fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Like, it's outrageous that this would happen. Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. And Jesus brings it home to our relationship with the Father in heaven. So if you, sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do you think your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Of course your Father wants to give you good gifts. Of course he wants to hear from his children. Of course he wants to answer those prayers. And that's what praying with confidence looks like. It's when you're praying right. It's when you're praying hard. When God knows and you know, this comes from the depths of my soul, God, I'm asking for this from you. God says, that kind of prayer, it rings the bell. That kind of prayer, it wins the prize. Those kind of prayers, the Father says, I know my children, and I can give them exactly what they're asking for, because what they're asking for, their heart mirrors my heart, and by me giving it to them, it is for their good and it is for my glory. So, of course, I'll give you this. Or the Father says, yes, I want to give you this, but I can't give it to you right now because you're not ready for it. Or perhaps the good, loving Father says, are you crazy? If I gave you what you're asking for, it would hurt you. And I can't give you something that I know is going to hurt you. So my answer to you is no. No, because I love you, I'm not going to give you something that you're asking for. Because if I gave it to you, it would hurt you. All right, Jeff, what is the prize that Jesus describes? You said rings the bell and wins the prize. I want to know what the prize is. It's right here on the screens. Last sentence that Jesus says, when you pray powerful prayers, your Father hears them. And here's the prize that your Father is going to give you. Right up there on the screen. What is that prize? Say it out loud. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God giving you himself. You want my best for you? I'm going to give you beyond your wildest expectations. I'm going to give you me when you pray. I'm going to give you my Spirit when you pray. That's the answer to your prayer. That is beyond your wildest dreams. The greatest prize that I could give you is to give you myself. And when you ask, I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to give you all of my Spirit because I love my children and I want to do what's best for my children. And so, of course, I'm going to honor you when you pray right. Of course, I hear them when you pray hard. And of course, when you come to me with confidence, I know what's in your heart. And I'm going to give you beyond your wildest dreams. I'm going to give you myself because I'm going to give you my Spirit. And he's going to walk with you and be with you every step of the way, no matter what it is that you're dealing with. I'm going to wrap us up with this sermon today with a challenge. This, starting tomorrow, our church is going to partner with other churches in the Chattahoochee Valley to pray and fast for the next 40 days for our city. In fact, starting tomorrow on August 1st, church leaders and churches all across the Chattahoochee Valley are going to go through a 40-day period of praying and fasting. I'm going to ask you to join me to pray fervently and to fast daily for our city. Give up one meal a day, and the time that you would spend eating that meal, would you sacrifice that time and ask God to do something amazing in our city, to do a great work in your neighbor's life or in your neighborhood or in our community or in this church? Some of you in this room are not medically able to fast a meal, so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Would you give up all social media for the next 40 days? All of the time that you would normally spend on Facebook or on Instagram, would you spend that time praying to your Father and asking him to work in our city? Or if social media isn't your thing, would you give up TV for the next 40 days? And all of the time that you would normally spend watching movies on Netflix or watching television, would you spend that time interceding for our city? Starting this coming Wednesday, at noon in this room, Pastor Otto Price will be leading a time of prayer from noon to 1 every Wednesday. And it is a chance for you to come together corporately as a group and to pray for our city. But I'm inviting you to pray individually for the next 40 days. And by the way, do the math. The 40th day of this period of time will be September 11th, 2016, the 15th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. In order to help us remember this 40 days of prayer and fasting challenge, starting tomorrow on the big flagpole outside, we're going to hang up this flag. This flag was a flag of the Revolutionary War. It was commissioned by George Washington in October 1775. The phrase at the top is a phrase by Thomas Locke in one of his essays about government. And he said, when your king no longer listens to you, when you can't go to your king and make an appeal to him for justice, there is still one more higher court that you can go to. You can appeal to heaven and ask heaven to intercede for you. George Washington had this flag commissioned so that his ships on the water would say, if God doesn't rescue us, if God doesn't step in and help us against the most powerful navy on earth, there is no hope for these 13 colonies. This flag was a symbol. We appeal to the greatest, highest court that anyone can appeal to. We appeal to heaven and ask God, God, would you help us? So would you join me in appealing to God for our community? Would you join me in begging God for the souls of your next door neighbors, for your friends, or for your family? And would you, for the next 40 days, pray and fast with me? Before we move on to anything else in here, I'm going to invite you, those of you who feel compelled to do it, to come forward, to kneel at these stairs and to just simply say, God, I'm not honest with my prayers. I mean, sometimes I'm just mouthing the words, but my heart is really not in it. God, I don't pray the powerful prayers that ring the bell and win the prize like Jesus is describing. And God, forgive me, because I know you want to hear from your children, and I know you want your children to be serious. For many of you, you may want to get up out of your seats and come to these stairs and just symbolically say, God, I'm sorry for weak prayers. But for others, I'm going to invite you just right where you're sitting to be very serious with God for just a few moments about prayer. I know we're running a little bit late, but I feel like this is important enough that we need to spend some serious time between you and God, between me and God. So I want you to bow. And if you feel the need, I'm going to pray for us in just a second. And then after I get done praying, I'm going to stop talking. And if you feel the need, I'm going to invite you to come forward and to just do business with God. So would you bow and let me pray over us and then invite you to pray for your soul and for our city and for your friends and family. God, I don't always pray the way Jesus commanded us to pray. And Father, I'm honest. My prayers are sometimes weak, because they're not sincere. They don't come from the heart, because I'm not passionately pursuing what I'm asking you for. And God, forgive me when I take my relationship with you for granted. Forgive me when I just mouth the words and I really don't even know what I'm saying, don't mean what I'm asking for. God, would you help me to pray prayers that capture your heart? And you can say, of course, Jeff, I want to answer that prayer, because I'm your father and I love you and I want to give you my best. And sometimes my best is to say no. Sometimes my best is to say not right now. Sometimes my best is to say yes immediately. I'll give that thing that you're asking for to you, and I'll give it to you for your good, for my glory. God, would you move in the hearts of your people? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us and would you draw some out of their seats as you desire to come forward and to pray to you right now? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.